Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are again on this Monday, Veterans Day Observance, and we're doing our thing this evening, and we're going to have our guests as they come in when we'll be talking with them. But before we go there, I just want to thank all the veterans and all those that are out there that served in the Army, Air Force, Marines, whatever, the Navy, all of those branches. We thank you for keeping us safe, and I just... I'm proud to be a part of that elite group. I did myself 22 years in the United States Army, and I retired from that service, and I enjoyed the festivities and things that was going on today, so it was very good. So if anybody has anything they want to say about veterans or anything like that, the number is, you can call it, it's 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio. We're hoping to have our guest call in, and I think I have my co-host right now, so... what's up going on with you there?
What's up, black man?
Wait, how's it going, man?
Man, it's going. It needs to go a little bit faster, but, you know, other than that, it's going.
I hear you. Well, I was just telling the people out there that's listening about this being Veterans Day and everything and how we are honoring those who served and did things to keep us safe. And I was also about to tell them how I enjoyed my time out there yesterday and they getting my free perks and all that stuff that, you know, it seemed like it's a little more this year than it was before. We hadn't been getting all these places to go and be able to get food and get gas for your car and things like that. So I thank those businesses and everything. And I want to say it has something to do with the president, but, of course, a lot of people probably would go against me on that. But I think that the people are starting to recognize our veterans a little more, and I appreciate that.
I think it's in spite of politics because people have come to the realization of what it is that the military does. You know, they don't simply follow blindly orders. You know, they are the protectors of our freedom. You know, they're the first line of defense for, you know, the Constitution. So everybody clamors about all these rights that they're losing, but they never think about who's fighting to ensure that we're able to use these rights and that nobody else on planet Earth is able to take them from us.
That's true. So, and, you know, one thing I've noticed as well in talking to some of the veterans today, they may have issues against you and other things, but when it comes down to you being whatever color you are, I've noticed, and maybe it's just a front, I don't think so, because we take our military service time seriously. And talking to other brothers in arms, white, black, whatever, they all were thankful to each other and telling each other thank you for your support. So, you know, I really appreciate that because, you know, they can put things aside. When you're in a foxhole with somebody, I don't think you got time to be worried about if they're gay or if something's wrong with them. They're there to protect you, and they know how to do their job is what you care about. So at least that's what I said when I was in. Some people may have that different opinion. And if you do, you can call in. The number's 347-215-8539. This is World Sex Radio. We want to hear from you. Hopefully our guests will be here. If not, then DV, we need to come up with something that we need to talk about. Hopefully we'll get Cotton over here. And there's always a subject, but a lot of times people get these little holidays, they get mixed up, and I guess they, you know, they ask to come on the show, and then they don't show up, and then guess what? We're not going to give them that opportunity again, so we'll go from there.
And that's how it is. But, you know, getting back to military service, like me and my cousin go back, and, you know, he's former military, you know, he's former Army, you know, stationed in Hawaii. And, you know, we talk about things like this all the time. We talk about women in the military, gays in the military. And I was like, look, man, at the end of the day, if they protecting your ass and they keeping you alive, I don't care whether they blue, green. You know, I don't care if they women or man or female. I don't care if they like the way my booty look in fatigues. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, if you are able to put your life on the line for something that you believe is greater than the individual, greater than yourself, then you have my admiration, period.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one thing I wish that this country did that all other countries are already doing is making it mandatory for at least the men, if not the women, at least the men to do at least 2 years or 2 to 3 years in some service where they can, if nothing else, they can get away from their town, their city, and see something else in their life before they come back here or there or wherever. You know, a lot of times these guys grow up, they never leave their city. All they know is what they've seen, and they end up dying right there. So, you know, I just think that all these guys that want to be trigger happy and get out here and shoot and stuff, let's go in the Army, let's go in the Marines, let's go somewhere where you can learn how to shoot and do some stuff, and you have that opportunity to use a weapon, you know. So,
but you know, like I know, the biggest problem with that is that the people who have money don't have to do service. All of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, I have money or my daddy owns or runs something. So I could, you know, if there wasn't that problem, if there wasn't that issue that no matter how much money you had or how much clout your parents had, you had to serve too, I think people would feel, you know, or even, you know, okay, but then it becomes complicated along religious and lines like that. But as far as money is concerned, if everyone could be sure that no matter what background you had, that you would all be serving, you know, 2 years, people would probably feel better about it. But as it is, money makes the world go round. You know, there are people getting out of stuff all the time because, you know, they dad or their mom knows somebody who able to get you out.
That is true.
So,
and, you know, and that's even happens in those other countries as well. But what they have, like I'll use the Korean Army, for example. They have a program, because we're there, our U.S. Army is there, they have a program where the rich kids are able to get out of the regular ROC Army, and they go into this program called a KATUSA program. It's Korean Augmentation to the United States Army. And basically what it is you're in the military, but you're working your full three-year hitch with the Army base. You're stationed with the Army, and you're going to be guaranteed your promotions, everything. You do your time, and then after that, you get out. Or if you choose to go forth, then you have to go back to the regular ROC Army and do that. But so a lot of the rich kids get in that program if they're able to get in, and they will do stuff in that arena. So that's a little getting over, but they're still giving their time. I think they're easier to be in the military, our military, or be around our people, than to be around their ROC Army, because they're really tough. I don't know if you know much about the Korean Army over there.
No, like, not much, because you know what I did? Like, when I was writing Valentine, I did a lot of research on Israel and their defense force. And over there, it's mandatory. They don't care if you're the richest person on planet Earth. You serve it, period. You know, you're going in, you're going to learn the training, you're going to learn how to handle a gun, and when they get you out, they give you a magnum. A magnum. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, in some instances, because Israel doesn't have the population that the United States has. You know, trying to get 300 million people to go through some sort of military training is crazy. You know, just the logistics of it all would be insane. But you know, there are a lot of countries on Earth that require, you know, a military service in order to be a citizen, you know, and Israel is one of them.
Well, you know, that's amazing. That is amazing. And I know people are probably tripping that's listening, because they usually listen. They know we talk shit on this show, and we're talking political.
And we will talk shit.
And we will. We will. Just hold on. We got 2 hours show, and you will get some. But right now, we just want to get that out, because we do care about our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and Coast Guard members and everybody who served in some type of capacity to help keep this country safe and where it is today. And some people, you know, they may not agree or want to be part of that, but still, that's your right, I guess. But still, I mean, just think where we would be today if we didn't have a great military. So let me check this phone number here. This might be one of our guests. It's a 757 area code. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is True Poet. I'm calling out of Richmond, Virginia.
All right. How are you doing up there in Richmond, Virginia? I used to stomp them grounds up there.
Yeah, we good up here, man. Maintaining and complaining.
Y'all maintaining. Y'all made it through Sandy and all that, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't real bad. We didn't get it real bad up here. Just a few power outages, that's about it.
Okay, well, do you have anything you want to say, a statement, or anything that you want to say real quick on the subject we're talking now, or did you just want to just say that you're listening, or what do you have to say?
No, I just came in, I was listening. I had seen up earlier, and I was, you know, had made my mind up that I wanted to listen to the show, so, you know, I was just listening. I didn't know what the topic was in particular.
Well, we're going to have one. Trust me, brother. We're going to have one in a minute. We sort of have a couple of guests that's coming on this evening. We're going to be talking about their books if they show up. If not, we talk relationships. So we will have something that we'll be able to talk about. And we appreciate you listening. So hopefully you'll continue on to listen as we go forth. And it will get better. It may be a little boring now, but it will get better. And we appreciate you calling in.
All right. Thank you.
All right. KDV. But like you were saying, man, you're right. It's rough that, you know, some of these countries, like you said, they don't have the, you know, one of the requirements to be a citizen is to be in the military. And I think it should be like that here, because, you know, people can come here and be in the United States and don't have to do nothing for the country. Just get all the perks and do whatever. And, you know, that's what it is. You know, that's, you know, they don't have to do anything. Just come here and get their citizenship or don't even get their citizenship and still be able to get things that some people that are citizens here can't get. So, we can talk about that for a second. What do you think about that?
Man, you know what? I ain't going to get on that topic. We were talking about immigration all day today. And the reason why I'm very, when it comes to things like immigration, I grew up around a bunch of dudes who were Nigerian, all right? And, you know, during that time, Nigeria was going through a lot of, you know, in the early 90s, mid-90s, Nigeria going through a lot of struggle, a lot of fighting, a lot of war. I had friends trying to bring their wives, their spouses, their girlfriends, their kids over. And all of a sudden, the United States government's like, nope, you got to do it the right way.
Right.
And now, you know, you have another segment of the population rising up from Mexico, and everybody's like, hey, well, you know, why not give them the benefit of the doubt? So are you telling me that it's okay to bring people who aren't in war-ravaged countries up here just because, but then for people who are, you know, who have something going on, something that, you know, something's going on in their country, whoa, you got to do things the right way. And that's the
right
thing that irks me more than anything. You know,
well,
especially
know,
with black people.
Right.
Like,
I was going to bring up the Haitian thing. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Go ahead.
You know, they just, you know, Haiti is supposed to be, you know, well, Puerto Rico is a commonwealth in the United States. They don't claim it as a state, but, you know, we give all this aid, and they even have a representative in D.C., all right?
Right,
you know,
right,
all
yeah.
those other countries that are non-black, oh, it's, you know, welcome over. You know, we'll appreciate everything you do. Let you come over and be black, they kicking your bathtub right back in the Gulf of Mexico. Like, good luck, buddy. And that's what it is, and that's what pisses me off about it, you know, this whole immigration thing. You can't pick and choose who you want to immigrate to the United States because that goes against everything you say you stand for.
Absolutely.
You know, I just don't get it.
Absolutely. Well, we want to go ahead and bring Ms. Cotton in right now. She is on the air. How you doing, Ms. Cotton?
Hey,
hey, beautiful.
Hey, DZ, how are you?
I'm good. Ray got me talking.
He's happy now. He's on his political goddamn box right now.
No box.
but before we go any further, I want to bring in another caller. I think they may have a question. If not, please don't hang up. It's an 816 number. State. Well, we know where you're coming from, calling from, but do you have any questions or anything you want to say at this time? If you do not, please say you do not, but don't hang up. Okay, they don't want to say anything. We're going to leave Kansas City alone. All right. So go ahead, Ms. Cotton. We were kind of basically talking about, the service to the country. You know, me being a veteran, you know, that's something that's dear to me. I was bragging about going out there and getting my free Golden Corral meal today and all that stuff. You know, I mean, I deserve that. You know what I'm saying? And any veteran that's out there and they're being recognized somewhere, you should get that. And then we started getting into immigration. But we want some sexual stuff going on here. I know there's you got something you've been thinking about that you might want to discuss. Maybe something that was on your show that you might want to continue.
I want all three of you to know that I don't know if GPA is listening, but you all were pretty much being set up.
Were you?
Yeah, I noticed that.
You were being set up.
You all were being set up because now I wanted to propose that we do. It's not really like a dating thing, but I wanted to know if you'd be open to giving out a book based on one in particular young lady coming on and asking a panel of three men questions, relationship questions, and whoever she chooses, you send her a book.
Well, that's a damn good idea. I have no problem with that, but if I lose, I'll be pissed. No, I'm just playing.
It's not like the damn dating game.
It's like the dating game, only you won't be going on a date with the person, and you will only be sending them one of your books.
Now, what if they decide they want to go on a date with you? Then what are you going to do then?
You better hope they ain't got a husband.
Tell me that way.
You better do it.
If you're not in a relationship, then that's at your discretion.
You
won't know who the woman is. I just want you to know that.
Wait a minute. Hold it. How are we going to not know? We're not going to see what she looks like or anything.
No. Because
who wants to do that?
Stevie gave a really good answer yesterday, I just want to say.
Stevie, what the fuck did you do, man? What did you do? Shit, I was on the show. I didn't hear that shit.
Well, no. Stevie said that when I asked about describing have you ever described your ideal mate in any of your books, he said no, because it could change, or he doesn't feel like his ideal mate in the book is going to be fictional. It's not going to be real. So he didn't describe. Now, not to say that you and GPA's answer wasn't great. However, both of you described women that neither of you date.
You know something, man? You just opened up some shit with this. Okay, we're going to go ahead and do it because this is something that she wants to do. Now we're going to have to do it. Okay. All right, so what are you planning on? What show do you want to do this on? Are we going to do this for Christmas? Or is this going to be something that we're going to do? I mean, is this a coming-up show on your show? Or is it you want to do it here?
I want it to be a coming-up show. And you know what? I wasn't sure if we could do it on your show or my show. It doesn't. If you're open to doing it on your show, that would be great.
You know, I don't have an issue. I don't have a problem. Plus, my show is probably, since I have a two-hour show, we'd probably be able to get that in, you know, because your show is 1 hour right now. And we want to get Word Sexy doing that. And we can even promote that shit, you know, any woman that wants to come on and talk shit to the authors and see if they can win, you know, a book.
She has to email me only, and she can't communicate with any of you men.
You know, it might be fun if we did it on the 3rd of December. We got Cherry Johnson on the 3rd. She's the only guest. And if she comes on, I know she's not going to want to talk for 2 hours. So we can have her come on. Or if not that day, the 17th is definitely open because I had somebody that was supposed to be on that night. Now, there's another person. I don't know if they're still going to come. But one of them reneged because I wouldn't, you know, remember that book that I had y'all read? The one that you said where the girl was writing the shit, it sounded like she was just trying to be. Well, she's pissed off at me right now because I won't fucking acknowledge her and shit as a fucking author. And, you know, she wants me to acknowledge her. Well, I have acknowledged her as an author, but she wants me to say her book is fabulous and it's garbage. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be honest.
Hey.
The book is garbage. I try to help her to get it right, and she don't want to get it right. So guess what? I'm not going to give a review. I sent it to him, but I don't know if he read it. I just don't like. I can't tell you something's good when you're not trying to help. You ask for my help, and then you don't want to do what I tell you. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. It's, you know, I'm not putting my name on some shit like that.
I don't think I've seen it. I don't think I got it. But you know what?
It's called Dickmatized. It's called Dickmatized, first of all.
More respect for you than I had before, because you was like, man, if it's shit, I'm gonna tell you it's shit, and I respect that. You know, because you can't candy coat and sugarcoat everything.
No.
Yeah, but if you read that, DV, I don't think you would like it either. It was, and I'm not saying that she's not an author, but I will say that wasn't a good book to send to an established author who has been out for years, as Red Snapper has, and I'm fairly new, but it was almost like a bio of a non-real person. And
I don't usually dog people because I give everybody a chance. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gets a chance to do what they got to do, and if they're going to fix it, especially if you're asking me what needs to be done, and I tell you, and then you're going to tell me I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, I mean, don't even come to me with it. And then you get mad because I won't do a review? What kind of shit is that? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that. So they got pissed off and said they're not going to come on the show. Like, I need them. Well, just so y'all know, I'm saying this shit on the air. I don't fucking need you. Okay, I said it. I'm done. We're going to leave that alone.
But, you know, at the same time, people should respect that at the same time. I know Red Snap. I've known Red. We've known Red Snapper for a while, and we know that he goes above and beyond trying to sugarcoat it a little bit just so you can kind of get it. But then after a while, it's like, you know what? That we don't like that. That's just nasty. That ain't good. Don't do that. But initially you could have waited till she came on the radio.
I was trying to get her on the show. Let me explain this real quick, and then
before you answer that.
Okay.
Before you say that, on a scale from 1 to 10, what she look like?
What the looks got to do with it?
I'm asking you a question, man.
The looks don't have nothing to do with it. I tried to help this person.
You a damn lie. You know you.
I tried to help this person.
She not.
I tried to help her. I tried to help her. It has nothing to do with her looks. So, DV, don't put that shit out there like that, DV, because that ain't true, brother. That's not true.
No,
that ain't true, man. Because talent is talent.
Right, but wait. If she was A1 fine, you would probably have a longer wick with her. I mean, she may be crazy,
man,
but you may be like, all right.
Let me tell you something. See, now, everybody out there listening thinks that Red is fucked up, and he only going to help a fine woman. That is not true.
And I respect that.
Look, man, don't put that shit out there like that. No, let's be real, though. For real, let's get serious. She is kind of ugly. But anyway, the thing is, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Her looks don't have nothing to do with it. When I sent that book to Cotton, I knew Cotton was going to be honest with that. You know, I sent it to YouTube, and I sent it to Melody, but y'all didn't have time to read it, or y'all just said it was just garbage, and y'all just don't want to comment. But I really tried to help this person because I talked to this person today. They got mad because first they was asking about the links for a show that's going to be in December that we don't even have a link to yet. I tried to explain that to them. You know, they're going around, they're paying folks to you know, they're giving free books away, which is no problem. We do that a lot. And they're making people do all these reviews. They have like 88 reviews on their book now on Amazon because she had gave these books away and told the people they got to do a review if they get the book. So these people are giving her reviews and making her look good. But the book, I'm telling you, if you look at it and try to read, Cotton, am I lying? Am I making this shit up?
He is not lying.
Okay? I tried to help her.
You would not like the book. You think you don't like poetry, you would not have liked this book. Like, I couldn't even keep up. I couldn't follow where she was trying to go with the story at all. And I read at least 21 pages of it, but I can't keep reading it. This makes no sense.
You know, I was really trying to help her. It's about this sex therapist who was supposed to be discreet and fucking everybody, but then everybody knows she's fucking everybody. So that right there was fucked up. And then, you know, it's crazy. Okay, she's supposed to be helping these people to save their marriages or whatever they're doing, but she's fucking everybody. And I don't know. It's just stupid, man. It's just dumb. I mean, when you do erotica, there's a certain, you know and I know there's a certain way to do erotica, all right? You don't want to make porn. She's saying it's erotica, but it's just porn. It's just a woman out there on the loose with a damn degree, and she's fucking everybody. And half the damn sex scenes is impossible. I don't see how you can turn your fucking ass a certain way and have your leg and all this shit. The shit she's trying to describe, the shit don't make sense.
But wasn't she in the first few cases I read? She was having sex with herself more than she was anybody else.
Right, and she was talking about she learned how to squirt and all this shit, you know, herself. She taught herself how to squirt. There's a whole bunch of shit in the DV. You tripping, man. I'm telling you. And I hate the doggest person. I'm not saying her name. I'm being nice and not saying her name. But I'm telling you, most of the reviews, that's all right. Most of the reviews that's on there is people she didn't pay to do the reviews for her. You know, she's like number 5 on Amazon. I mean, you know, I mean, that's fine. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Now she wants poets. I think you saw this, Cotton. She wants poets for her next book because she wants to put a poem before each chapter in her next book that she's doing now. So she's trying to promote that. She's telling everybody that she's going to put people in Walmart, and she's going to get their books in all these stores and everything. It's just crazy.
I mean, she got to aspire to something.
Yeah, but you want to get honest feedback from people. That's one of the things that, as artists, we appreciate. We need that honest feedback because then you go out there and you're promoting something that's garbage.
Yeah, but
and nobody's buying it.
Need and want. We need honest feedback. But most people, especially for artists, don't really want honest feedback.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
If you told your first book was shit, that's what you poured your heart into. You know, that's the one that's going to sting the most because that's the one that has the most you in it. So nobody wants to hear that your book sucks. They want to hear that you are a classic, that you're one of the all-time greats.
I don't want to say
that's just.
I didn't want to say her book sucked, but DV, I really did try, regardless of her looks.
Hey,
I really did try to help her so that she can have a book that will come out and have class to it. I was trying to be honest. So she got a book that would come out that had class to it. It was her first book. You know, she wanted to come out. First of all, I hate when people come to me and they tell me that they're writing because, say, auntie or somebody told them they should write. That right there turns me the fuck off in the first place. Because if you're a writer and you like writing, you're going to do it. Nobody should have to convince you that you need to fucking do something, okay? I don't like that, okay? So don't come and tell me that. Second, what are you doing it for? You're trying to get paid. Everything coming out your mouth is money. You're not in it for a real reason. You know, I just get tired of that. So when I told them about that, they got mad. And now they want me to do a review because they're trying to prove to me that they can do it because I wouldn't publish them through my company. So now they're out there on their own, which is fine. It's great. I said this. I'm proud of you that you did that, but you're not doing what you asked me. I give you some advice and you don't want it. Don't dog me for that. You know what I mean? Then you're going to get mad and try to put me out there like I ain't shit, you know, because I won't tell you your shit's good when it's not. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I mean, look, like, we've all been part of that. Like, I think earlier this year, I had a guy who had read my novels. And, you know, we had, you know, talked via email, nothing on the phone. And he was like, well, I want you to write for my anthologies. I'm like, cool, you know, I have no problem writing, you know, short story for anybody. So I said, well, what's the name of the book? I don't know. Okay, well, what is the premise of the book? What are we writing towards? What is the theme? I don't know. Huh? When is this book due? When are you going to have this ready? Well, I'm trying to get it done in 2 weeks. Are you fucking kidding me? You calling me, you know, the book is out in 2 weeks. You don't know the name of the book. You don't know the theme. We're just all writing these stories about, I was like, do you have a cover, anything? No. You got an editor? I'm the editor. Okay. Thank you, but no thank you. You know?
Yeah, see.
And then, you know, but wait, then he got the nerve to get mad at me because I wanted structure. You know, he told, you know, and he went off on me. He told me I wasn't a real writer. I was like, look, man, you bought my books and you approached me. You know, I was like, I'm one of those type of people that I need structure. I need to believe that a story that I'm writing is going towards something that somebody is taking full consideration. You know, this is what you want to do, not just something that you put out to get money. Because anybody who wants to do this is going to already have an editor. They're already going to have a cover. They're already going to know what the freaking title of the damn book is. You know, I said, that's love. That means you love what you're doing. If you're not doing
right.
These things, you just want money. And that's not who I am.
Well, this book has only been out since June. It's already a second edition. Every page of the book has digmatized, comma, the name of the author on every page. It's just set up not right. It's just not set up right. You got consulting editors. You got three of them. You got a cover model. You got a great. I mean, it's written. It's, you know, everything is there. Because they probably looked at some other books and saw what was in the book cover, and they decided that they wanted to make their book look as close as they can to what they think should be. And like I said, I'm not trying to dog this person, but I think they got a good premise. They have a good premise that could be something. If they would have took time out to do research and fix the book to do what it needed to do. But to say that I'm discreetly, everything we do, you sign a letter of confidentiality to come in to see this doctor, but the doctor is fucking everybody, and then she's telling everybody she's fucking everybody. I mean, all that kind of shit is just contradictory. I mean, like you said, Cotton, it's about her wanting to be something, and I think that she was really trying. I mean, all her stuff is talking about how I do. It's about me. I am this, this, and that, and I'm a squirter now, and I learned how to squirt, and I shot and squirt all over the man's face, and his dick shot open. I mean, it's just crazy shit. They always want to come as soon as she tightens her pussy, is what she says. This is, well, here's one. They always want to come as she tightens her pussy muscles and makes her walls wrap around the dick like fitted gloves. On top of that, she is a squirter, and that is just icing on the cake. When they see her come all over their face and dick, they go absolutely crazy like kids in a candy shop. What the fuck is that? She hasn't always been a squirter, but mastered the technique some years ago and uses it to her advantage. Every chance she gets.
Wow.
I don't know. It
is second nature to her, and she never thinks about it until it starts feeling so good that she wants to complete her task. Today is one of those days. Okay. Go ahead, Cotton.
I was going to say, I don't even think that, like you said, that's not really erotica.
It's not. It's about, I want to be this. This is what I want to be. I want to be this. And yeah, it is porn. You know, it is. It really is. Pleasuring me, that's chapter two. You know, what the fuck? She whispers, shaking her head and lying down. Huh? These nightmares have been going on about a month now about herself playing with herself. They're nightmares.
So what we're saying is that her book lacks two major things, a plot and cohesiveness.
There you go.
All right, so we got that out the way.
Okay, so we're done. All right, so back to the, I mean, and I never thought I'd be saying this, and if my brother is hearing this, please don't be upset, but I'm going to say this. Mr. Bullard, you and your boy who wrote the book about the white girls is better than black women and shit, I have to say this book is better. Your book is better than that one. Well, I'll be damned. Did I say that? Did I say that? You heard that shit on Word Sexy Radio. I did say that.
Stay from red.
And like I said, their book was what it was.
Oh,
but
I've seen this book
one,
cover. I saw this book.
Yeah, you see
like,
it.
I'm looking at Dickens.
Yeah, you see it. Well, that's the book. You want to read it and trip, then that's something to read.
No, comical. I'm looking at the book cover. Because, like,
the cover looks good, but the picture.
Right, I was like, is the picture on the front of the book the doctor?
That's the doctor.
That's not a very good doctor picture, I guess. But, hey.
If I had a doctor that had some big ass titties like that on there, boy, damn. Anyway,
yeah.
No, that's the doctor.
You know, that got some titties. You know, this is certainly, but you know, like we said yesterday, I'm not really a titty man. I'm a butt, thighs, calf man. You know, so you can have some titties. That's perfectly fine. Good for you.
But see, but just so you know, I had nothing. Her looks, the author of this book has nothing to do with why her looks has nothing to do with me not helping her. You heard what we read some pieces, and I haven't even really got deep into reading it so that you can really hear why I thought it was garbage. But like I said, it's just my opinion. There's a lot of people out there that might like the book. Fuck it. I mean, it's cool. Okay?
But you got to remember that the majority of the readers are women for those types of books. So most women aren't really going to be feeling that.
Yeah. Okay. Now the chat room. There's an author in the chat room. I'm not going to say her name. I spoke with her in length, and she is a very, very good person. I think that she is a listening person, someone who really wants to do well with her books. And she is saying some things. First of all, let me let you know this book we're talking about. You know, it's not about you, so don't think it's you. You didn't write garbage like that. But anyway, you have done. You're telling me in the chat room that you've done some things to make your book better, and that's good. That's good. But and since she said that, let me go ahead and say this for those that are aspiring writers out there. You got to do your research before you write a book. First of all, before you even think about picking up a pen or putting your fingers on a keyboard, you need to do research on what it is to be a writer and the things that it takes to be a writer to do this. You got to like doing it. You can't be doing it for money because you ain't going to get rich overnight. We say this every time we have a show damn near. But some people just don't get it. It's not about the money. It's about you putting your craft, if you love it, out there, and the money will come. We try to tell you that, but sometimes people just don't hear that. So you got to do your research because there are so many people that will get over on you, especially now the way the game is now, that they'll let you publish some shit and take all your money, and it will be garbage. Okay? So please, this is not about trying to get over. This is about trying to help you put out something that you're going to be proud of, because first impressions, like anything, is going to make everybody, you know, make whether they pick up another book you write or anything you do. And I tried to tell that to the person that I'm talking about, and they didn't want to listen to me. So now they got this shit out there with all these reviews that's good, but that's sugarcoating. They're doing this for whatever reason to make her feel good, and then she's going to write another book. And she's got to go up all this work and everything to get on here, to make it look good. Fine, whatever. That's what you got to do. That's what I told her. So everything I'm telling you is not something that she doesn't know. Go ahead, DV. still there, man, or you gone? He must have slipped off. Oh, he fell off. Okay. All right. But, I mean, Cotton, do you agree what I'm saying or do you disagree? I mean, just tell me what you think.
No, I absolutely agree. I think, and I was just sitting here thinking to myself, I've even looked at back at some of my own writing, and I was just reading one of the books the other day, and I thought, you know what? I'm a better writer now than I was then. And had I had somebody like you to kind of maybe proofread what it was that I was doing, I would have waited and rethought. Because, I mean, of course, with creative space, you're always going and change it. But that's not the point. I want to always put out great stuff. I don't want to go, I don't want to look back at something and think, dang, that wasn't as great as it could have been. It could have been way
right.
better had
well,
I had, you know, somebody
you're right.
saying.
You're right. My thing is this, Cotton. As a writer, especially as a novelist like me and DV, and those that are novelists, even in, and I say even in poetry, it should be getting better as you do more of it. The more you write, your craft should be perfecting. It shouldn't be getting worse. It
right.
should be getting better. So, you know, whether you got to take a class or whatever you got to do to get yourself better, I mean, even in just writing and just learning how to do, putting your structure of your book together, it should be getting better. It shouldn't be getting worse.
But
I feel sorry for this person because I really try to help her. And you're right. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I was going to say, but getting advice from somebody who is established and has been doing this for years, that should be an honor. That should be a thing. You say, you know what? Let me see if I can't fix something here. Let me reread what I wrote and see if I feel it's my absolute best. If I feel like it's my absolute best, then I appreciate you, but I'm going to keep it the way it is.
Some people just don't want rejection. They don't want rejection. You know, my books ain't the best books in the world. There's greater authors out there that probably are not published, that's trying to get published, that's got stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that don't ever get published that's better than what I'm doing. But the thing is this. You gotta be able to listen to folks, and you gotta be able to try to perfect your stuff by doing that. You know, that's what you wanna do. You know, your work should get better, not worse. It should get better. And the more you write, the more you try to put more into your craft, you should want it to get better. You know, my thing is, you know, the first book, you should see a metamorphosis from your first book to the fifth book or whatever, of you getting better in what you're doing and how you're structuring your book and your character development and all of that. If that's not there, then something is not right. I just don't think that, you know, I mean, I think it would be better. Okay, let me see. We have an unlisted number here. This may be one of our guests that was supposed to be coming on the show. Let me see. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
No, this is DV.
Oh, it's you?
Yeah, like no signal now.
You doubled up. Okay, you did double up. Okay, I see. Okay.
Aha, fool.
All right, well, we got you. So, like I said, those that are out here listening that are seriously really trying to get into this writing, I call it a literary game, but it's not really a game. Well, it is a game to a point. But the thing is what you have to understand is you want to do this. You should be doing this because you want to. And, yes, you got to give a lot of books away. Yes, you're not going to get rich overnight. And there are some authors that do get that break where their book is made into a movie or whatever. But still, you know, you just got to be willing to do this because you love it, and then the money will come. I'm telling you, it will. But if you don't like what you're doing, or you're not going to be interested to take what criticism you can to make your stuff better, then how would you expect someone to read that if you know, to support you if you're not willing to take that?
Right, especially when you're asking for somebody to review your stuff. You can't ask somebody to review your stuff and then get mad when they give you an honest answer because it's not what you wanted to hear. That's crazy.
I was really trying to get her to come on the show. She was scheduled to come on the 17th of December. And I know, Cotton, you was going to give it to her. I know you were, and I was too. But not to dog her, but you would have seen how arrogant she would have been acting, and it would have just pissed you off.
But let's not act like that's not the expectation. There are a lot of authors, and I know a few of them, whose books are not that great, but then they walk around like, you know, they shit don't stink. You know, sometimes it's that rock star mentality that, you know, now that I've achieve some level of greatness, you know, I'm the best thing that's ever written. I know a couple people like that, and I can't stand to be around them. But, I mean, you know, you'll run into, you know, 100 authors, and maybe 5 to 10 of them have that persona. It is what it is, you know, just steer clear of them and let them, you know, fade their own star.
Well, you know, like I said, and the way the game is now, anybody can publish, so you ain't got to go through a mainstream company or anything. You can put out garbage, and if people like it, you know, they like it. If they don't, then whatever. I mean, you know, especially now, and I'm not trying to say urban fiction is garbage, so please don't repeat that, people saying that I said that, because I'm not. But with urban fiction, you can write slang, and how do you edit slang? Basically, how do you edit that? I mean, you really can. I mean, if that's what it is, that's what pisses off a lot of mainstream authors, because they're like, I worked hard. I worked 20 years to get into the game, and now these people come in and they can write a book overnight, and they can be an overnight sensation because they got slang and stuff in their books, and people are buying them because it's something that they can relate to. They're not relating to Uncle Tom's Cabin or any of that, because that cats are in the rye. That's not with them, so they're not gonna read that. They want to see something that they know. So that's why the urban fiction genre is growing and doing the things it's doing, because now people that didn't read before are now reading because they see something. They're reading about things, the lifestyle that they're living, or something that they want to live in that lifestyle, or they see around them. You know, so, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But you still got to be, you still want to put out something that's not garbage. You want to put something that's going to be, you know, that you can be proud of, I would hope.
Right, I second that, because I mean, look, the way I see books, you know, if the world should collapse and all electricity everywhere just suddenly go out, you know, the only thing that we'd have is books, you know. So future generations are going to judge you based on what you've presented. And, you know, it used to be that, you know, you had to go through one of the big houses and things like that, and you were vetted, which is fine, you know, but times have changed, and it's not, you know, it's not always like that. But in the same token, simply because you don't want to be part of a big house doesn't mean you shouldn't treat your product like you didn't just come out of one of them, you know. And that's what irks me more than anything. You know, you got these people that they're just happy to put out something, regardless of the quality, and then they're like, well, you know, I've made a name for myself because I've accomplished a goal. There's nothing wrong with accomplishing something, but make sure it's the best accomplishment that you have. Don't just, you know, it's like, and I told somebody this, I said, it's like us, both of us, me and you, Ray, we taking a test, right? I finished my test in 10 minutes. It take you 60 minutes. But half the answers on my test is wrong. I'm like, so what, I passed? 50%, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Whereas you took an hour to do yours, and you got 100%. So sometimes you want to put in that extra effort to make sure you got as much right as you possibly can. Because writing, you know, you are your own worst editor. If you think you can edit your own book, then you don't need to be writing. But sometimes bit of effort makes all of the difference between, you know, your book being in the $1 pile and your book being esteemed as one of the greatest pieces of fiction ever written.
Right. I agree with you there. And like I said, just and a good segue, I hate to do it this way, but I'm going to do it. My books now are on Kindle for 99 cents until, you know, I do this every year for Christmas. So starting today, you can get all Red Snapper, all 12 Red Snapper titles, any one of them you want, for the low price of 99 cents for starting today through the end of January. Then they're going back up. You know, this is the only time that I do that, because I feel like when you write a book, anyone, when you write a book and you put all this work and everything into it, getting it edited, getting all this shit done so it can be something, and then you put it off at 99 cents all the time, all year round, why are you doing that?
Right.
You know, that don't even make sense. But for this time of the year, your books sell pretty well. Everybody's getting the Kindle Fires and all this shit. Look, too. You get these books like that, and Red will be there for you so you can help do it. You know, gets hot and bothered and horny and all that, and read a Red book, and Red Snapper will get you there.
But you know what, Red, man, it's there, and I basically said this in one of my, you know, arguments. It, in the effort to underbid everybody, people undervalue their work. You know, it's like, well, I want to get looked at, so I'm going to undervalue my work just so I can get looked at. And that's the wrong approach. You know, you want
same thing with giving away 1,000 downloads on Amazon so that your book can become number two or number one on the best, you know, of being best
right.
downloads, because they don't care if it's paid for or not on Amazon.
Nope.
If you can give away 1,000 free downloads, you're gonna be at the top. It's gonna happen. So you'll be number one on our erotic fiction novels for this month, because all they care about is that some people got the books. They don't care if you got paid for it or not.
Right. I mean,
so you know that's how it works. It's like the New York Times bestselling list. If you had your company buy 5,000 books out of one store that was under that thing, you're gonna make it for that month.
Well, you're gonna make it for that week.
And the same thing for the Essence books. I mean, if you go to a bookstore in Atlanta or somewhere that is one of the hubs that calculates that, your books will make that. You'll become an Essence bestseller. That's all you wanted, that little title. You can get that by doing it that way.
I think,
but it's not legit because you bought them yourself. You go and buy 1,000 of your own books and give them away. It's a tax write-off. That's why Steve Harvey stayed on the New York Times bestseller as long as he did. Because this company, he probably bought them and just gave his books away, like when he go to places and stuff. It's a tax write-off. And he gets to have that title of New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
I mean, the thing is, it takes a lot of work to get on the New York Times bestseller list. But now,
that's one way, though.
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm saying is, nowadays, everybody gives themselves some title, bestseller, you know. And I don't get what the criteria is. You know, award-winning author when you got an award from an internet show. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, really?
Yeah, now that's a good one right there. Say that one again, because that one right there just fucks me up. How a book club, you get in cahoots with a book club, like, I ain't going to say who, but there are some book clubs out there, you can get an award with them. If they like you and you shake hands with them a couple of times at a couple of conferences, they like you enough, they're going to put you in, and then they vote you in to win. And then you are a best-selling author now because you got a book club award that's on the internet. That's some bullshit.
I mean, I think it's funny that in the rush to outdo the next person, you'll add any label that you possibly can. If
same thing with the radio shows on them.
Right. If you're better than the next person, your work is going to prove that. Your work will speak for itself.
Right.
People,
and a lot of people don't like this show. They don't like this show because we cuss and everything, I guess. I don't know. But whatever the reason. You know, they nominate you. And like I said, I'm not doing it for that anyway. But, you know, look at these shows that ain't talking about shit. They ain't talking about nothing. Not saying we talk about everything, but I'm just saying they don't talk about it. They get these awards, man. Like I said, go to enough conferences, get known, people see you, you shake a couple of hands, they like you, then they're gonna vote you in. That's how it works. It's clicks.
Right. I mean, it's not what you know.
Which I like that song actually. I like that song actually by Jay-Z and the new one out by Kanye West called Clicks. That shit's tight. Big Sean. Anyway, I couldn't help myself. Anyway.
but you know, like I know, it's getting to the point where it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know,
and I still want to do my own awards show.
Oh, look at you.
But what I want to do is I'm going to be legit with it, though. I want the people to really vote and pick. I don't want to be like, okay, you do this for me, I do this for you.
No. If you really want a legitimate award show, don't have it based on popularity. Have it based on merit. Have some quality people who read for a living get together a list. You guys all read the list of those books and then decide who's best, period.
Just a popularity contest.
Let me finish this thought because it's in my head. A popularity contest doesn't determine who's the best book is. It just determines who has the most people following them or voting for them. And that's it. Mm-hmm. You're not the best writer because you won a popularity contest. So, I mean, if you really want a quality award show, have some actual, you know, people with credentials, you know, people who have been doing this, you know, 15, 20, people with credibility, you know, put together a list of some of the best books that they found in each genre and work off of that.
Well, that makes sense. And a good ideal is what Cotton is doing, I think, is is having people on her page. I think one of her groups she had where people are doing reviews for each other. I think that's very good. You know, I mean, if you read, I think that if a book is going to be nominated or whatever you're going to do with all this stuff, it needs to be at least read. Half these people are not reading this stuff. It's just, like I said, right. It's all this friendship stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
I agree
so,
with that.
You know, it needs to be a panel of people that's actually reading and they put their real response to it and not just getting paid off or because I like this person and they're cool or whatever. You know, it's got to be, if the book is garbage, you know, I mean, it don't have to be necessarily garbage, but I'm just saying, it needs to be some quality stuff in there, merit, like you said, merit. That's important.
Yeah, because if it's not a good book, I won't post a review.
Right.
Not where other people can see it. I will let the person know privately that this isn't, you know, I won't do a review for this because I don't like it or it's not good quality of me. But I'm not trying to damage their reputation or what they have going on by posting a negative review. You know, giving somebody the opportunity to fix or maybe they want to go a different route, or maybe they don't care about my opinion. But I won't do that.
Well, you know, if it's that case, then they wouldn't care about the reviews that's on Amazon or Barnes and Noble and all that, because people's opinion—that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before on the show, where who gives you the authority to write reviews and people go by those opinions? But they do, because they go by the customer who supposedly read the book. You know what I'm saying? And people will go by those things where they read that review and before they pick up a book, instead of them just picking it up themselves and figuring out, because you might like something that person didn't like.
Right.
You know, and the thing is you got these people out there that's doing reviews, you paying them to read your book, and they do a review. What kind of shit is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's messed up,
yeah.
too. You pay them to do a review, and then they might tell you it's good or whatever. Or, you know, just like the girl who wrote, I didn't pay her, but she got pissed off because my books had all this sex in it and wasn't no damn rubbers used and all this shit. But she wanted, you know, I mean, I'm going to always say that, and she wrote that. I'm not mad at it. It's just, I use that as an example because it's like, who gives people the authority to say that this is that you're right in what your opinion is of that?
Man.
I don't know.
That's why you got to find people who specialize. I mean, like, it goes down to having a leg up on everybody else. If you can pay for a review and it's always positive, then do it. Remember how movies got caught? Remember those crappy movies used to come out, and then at the end of the commercial, they'd be like, you know, so-and-so from, you know, blahblahblah.com says this movie is the most awesome movie ever. They paid for those, and they got found out. You know, these movie studios were actually paying sites and people that didn't exist. They would pay one person, and they would put up 10 reviews from 10 different places, you know, saying how great this terrible movie was. And then when they got found out, it was like, oops, you know, we got caught. And that's what's happening. Sometimes it's better to have it done and get caught later on. You know, by that time, you already made the money that you needed to make.
Right.
And it's crazy, but everybody's looking for everybody's looking for an easy answer to a hard question. The hard question is, are you going to succeed? The easy answer is, if I pay the right people to do the right thing, it gets me closer. But that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, I have yet to pay for a review. I have not paid for a review yet.
Yeah, me either.
Well, I haven't either. That's why I don't have a lot of them.
Me, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's why I don't have a lot of them.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's why I don't have a lot of them. So, you know, people don't do what they do. I mean, I said a lot of people have read my books, but they won't get on, black folks or whoever, they ain't going to get on and do a review. They'll read all day and pass that same book around to the whole community and won't do a damn review. That's why I don't like the black folks. Now you understand. Now you're getting it. Because that's why I don't base my books. That's why I don't base my books on just us.
I'm gonna tell you like this, Red. White person I met, you know, it was hard. At first, the very first white person that I tried to sell to, and I sold the book to her. That next day, the review was up. I was like, damn, you know, because they be on it.
Yeah,
and you know. And, like, with us, you know, it's not always that case. You know, you give your people a book, you give them a discount, you tell them, write a review because that's, you know, we live and die by the review. You'll never hear from them again.
Exactly.
Maybe they may email you.
had people literally ask me or tell me that they wanted to get my book, but they couldn't. I said, well, I'm going to send you a book a few times. I said, well, I'll send the book. All I want you to do is just to write a review. Let me know what you think about the book, post it or whatever. I'm still waiting on that. My CD was the same way. People wanted a CD. I said, well, I'm going to send you the CD. Just let me know what you think about it. And every time you hear, this is much, every time you hear, well, I just haven't gotten around to, okay, mm-hmm. Well, it's a CD. You could pop that in the CD player as you're riding down the street and listen to that. So it's just, and again, it's our people who do that. You know, and I said, that's, to me, that's crazy because you didn't have to pay for it. I'm just asking for you to do, you're already on the computer. It takes a couple minutes.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why people don't do reviews.
No, Red, before you jump in, tell me that we don't get more propositions than we actually get reviews. You know,
yeah,
right.
We do. That is true.
And that kills me. You email me
true.
To tell me that you want to jump my bones or that you want to see me when I come through the city again, but you won't get on and be like, okay, this book was good, bad, average, what? I don't care what your review
right.
is. Just write the damn review.
Exactly. half the people that get these books don't even have accounts on Amazon. That's why they don't do reviews. And they'll get on here and they don't want to take time out to take 5 seconds to just join. It ain't no money involved.
But all you got to do is have an account.
You
don't even have to do that. I don't know too many people that don't have a Facebook account. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just asking you to just throw it up on Facebook to say, hey, I read Ms. Cotton's book or I listened to her CD and it was X, Y, and Z. Just you right there on Facebook. I'm still seeing you on Facebook. You still ain't
right,
ready
right.
to listen to the
all that,
you know?
All that's good. All that is good.
That's just
and you're right, Ms. Cotton. It is lazy, but you know something? The reviews that's really going to help you, those are great if they would do that. They ain't doing that, as you said. But the reviews that really help you is the ones on Amazon and stuff because that's where people are judging. Believe it or not, I hate to say it, but these damn reviews, people will not buy something because somebody told them that it's fucked up. You know, I mean, I just think that's the place that you really want the review. But like you said, I agree with you. They're not even doing a review on Facebook. They're on Facebook every day. They read your shit 1,000 times and ain't said nothing. They might
but
tell you, oh, it's off the chain. I got hot over that. And then what? You don't get nothing.
Right.
Can you fuck? Can you do with the good what's in the book? Can you really eat pussy like that? Can you fuck like that? That's the shit I hear all the time. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm trying to entertain you with a story, and you worried about can I fuck you like the book? The book is about people.
But then you get the private message to say, hey, are you single? Can we go out?
And then
you know, I don't even get at me personally. I don't even get asked, can I send you a naked picture of me? I just get, yeah, don't do that because I'm not good with that. Don't send me no naked pictures or no.
I know what you mean. If they have your number, which a lot of them don't, you might get a picture or something on Facebook. Somebody's damn fucking pussy or a dick. Here it is, and somebody sent the female a dick. You cotton, of course. You know, it's just crazy.
But
you
know,
I get these pictures
the
of titties.
It is a pussy, you know, on
Facebook. Oh, you, I'm sending this to you. Oh, you know how to do the private message on Facebook. You
right.
get them pictures all the time. What you can do with this? Can you lick this? I'm like, well, goddamn, where's the review? You know, I mean, you know, you sending me pictures
like,
of your
yes,
fucking pussy and shit. I do, but I say, where's the review, though? I do say, yes, I can, but where's the review? That's what I want to know. Where's the damn review?
And it's real, but like, and it gets to the point where it's frustrating because I mean,
it is, man.
You really put yourself out there, and all you get back is, you know, can you do this for me? Or, you know, can we see each other again? You know,
the
it's
problem is
like,
this is the problem that I'm seeing. This is the problem I'm seeing, DV. People can't decipher you or they can't distinguish you from the author as a person.
Right.
They think that you're that because especially when they don't know you, that's all they know is you, that name, DV Hint or Red Snapper. So they think that's you. You're living this lifestyle. They think that, especially when you very detailed like we are in our books, they just can't comprehend that you have not done these things, that you had to have done it in order to write about it. That's what fiction is making shit believable. But they don't get that. They think, oh, he had to have fucked this motherfucker. He had to have done this. Well, like we always use the example, did Stephen King kill all the motherfuckers that he wrote that about? No, I don't think so. Well, he's crazy
Stephen King looked mighty crazy to me. He might have done that.
But, you know, the thing is people just can't decipher that. They just think that you really can do it. And, yeah, I can, but I'm still not trying to do all that. We just try to sell books.
But that's
you know?
Cool and all. But, you know what I'm saying? But all I need you to do is write a review. And then we can talk about this other stuff after you write a review.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's real. And you know, and Cotton hit it right on the head. As soon as you write that review, we can talk about all the nasty, dirty things that you want to do to me. But first, write the review.
You know?
Yeah, we ain't asking for no money.
I said, and that's, I just think that that is just so crazy to you gotten the CD or the book for free, and you still keep telling me, you still saying that you haven't found the time, but you're right here, and 90% of the people, I'll say 80% of the people have an Amazon account, because most people go on Amazon and buy all kind of stuff, and you got to have
right.
an account to be able to do that. So it's just like PayPal. A lot of people have PayPal. It's very simple. We all have websites. Okay, go on my website and do it. Do it on Facebook. I mean, there's so many ways that you can do it so that other people can see that are interacting with me that this book is pretty hot or whatever, however you feel about the book. But it's
right.
just so difficult getting them to do that. You know, I thought offering stuff, you know, offering my books for free at times would get people to, okay, well, I'll give you the book, just write a review. That's very difficult to do.
I think because of the genre you're in, and I don't know, you're not an erotic author, a poet. I know you write poetry, and you just happen to be sensuous. But I think people, especially black folks, I think they're just scared to comment on that stuff because they worry somebody's going to judge them if they write something like that.
But you know what?
Before
I wrote the book, I had more people commenting and sending me messages, and this is when it was real raunchy, nasty. Like, before I even cleaned it up, I had more people, when you going to write a book? Where can I find your, are you, have you, when you, can, I had more people commenting and trying to buy books and doing the whole before I went, I don't do the nasty stuff anymore. It
you
is sensual.
It up?
I
you
just,
it up?
Yeah, it's,
I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'm going to tell you what your problem is, and you're going to probably get upset, but I'm going to say this shit anyway. GPA.
Oh,
that's the reason why your shit changed.
Wow.
That's the reason why your shit changed is because he's in the picture now. When it was just Cotton and you was on there with them pictures.
No.
And no, listen to me. When it was just you and you had them damn sensuous ass pictures of shit all over Facebook and motherfuckers was looking at you with that hat on and tripping and shit and you was putting all that out there, they thought they can get some. Now his GPA is in the picture. They think you with him and all that. So they're scared.
No, this.
And you can't tell me that ain't part of it.
That may be part of it because people do assume just because I've done so much promoting for him that he's my husband if they don't know me or that we're dating, and we're not. But even before that, it was the same thing. And the reason why I cleaned it up because I don't want people looking at me in that. That's not why I'm writing. I'm not writing.
I thought you stopped because all these wives was getting pissed off and thought you wanted their men and shit and all this.
Partially that, but remember when we were in the group and people were posting all the nasty pics of themselves.
Oh
right,
yeah.
Oh, you talking about
the guild and the other one that we were in. We were in.
Oh yeah.
And people were. I was getting a lot of different pics from people, men. And I even got hit on by a couple of women asking the craziest. I'm just like, okay, no, I don't do this. No, this ain't me. So because I'm trying to put out a message about
relationships,
you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Cotton, they didn't care. They just wanted to lick you, Cotton. That's all.
That's when the sound should have went off right there.
Well, it should have. I'm going to do it again. You're going to hear it again. But they just wanted to lick that damn cat. They just wanted some, you know. And like you said, I get these pictures of pussies and all this shit, you know. It's just, you know.
You don't
I mean,
have to ask.
Man,
you
know,
like,
you know.
You know, there's somebody right now that's trying to IM me right now, talking about why can't you get into me and I like you and all this shit. I'm like, what the fuck, man? If I wanted this to happen, it wouldn't even be happening.
But like,
it's crazy, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I made that mistake. What's up?
You get that same. You have the same issues. I know you do, because I saw what you look
like. But see, this is the thing. When I first started writing, I had these business cards with my phone number on it. You know, I was like, well, I'm going to give people access to me anytime. Wrong. Worst thing in the world to do. And I'm telling all these dudes, if any men out there listening right now, do not put your phone number on your business card. You know,
well, only if you want that, especially if you will do what we do. You don't want to have that.
Right.
Because your groupies will be there, and we do have groupies. Let's just be honest. We have groupies. Like you said, there's people that want to try us to see if we can actually do what we're talking about. They want to make sure that you're just not blowing smoke. And it's intriguing to them. They just want you to fuck the shit out of them because that's what they think you can do.
But listen, I don't like using my cell phone because I'm not a cell phone guy. You know, I'd rather be at the house phone, you know, hit me at the house. So I only had like 500 minutes on my phone, which is like pretty archaic by, you know, by any standard. You're like, 500 minutes? Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. Like 500 minutes. I use 500 minutes sitting on the toilet, all right? But like 500 minutes was like more than enough for me. Man, I started putting out my business card. I had to jump into like the 2,000, you know, unlimited range. My bill jumped from like $50 to $200 overnight. You know, so it's just kind of one of those things that I warn fellas about.
That's what you get for writing Valentine and all that shit you be writing.
You don't anticipate that type of feedback. In fact, like, you think people won't call you? They will. And it's like, damn, you know. And you got to remember where you know them from.
Have you
gotten the random pics from women of their private parts?
Genitalia?
I've been emailed butt pics, boob pics, but like I don't even, if it's a coochie shot, yeah, I'm not on that. And I tell people that off rip. Mostly because. Understand this. My philosophy has been like this. If you're willing to do that for me, you're willing to do that for anybody. And I prefer, you know, discreet. You know, I like a demure woman.
You read too into shit too much, man.
But you're
like,
so right.
And how she
learned
how to
suck
dick? How she learned how to suck dick?
GPA said last night, he doesn't want a loud woman. You know what I'm saying? And because there's a place and a time for a loud woman, but not every place is that time. I don't want, if a woman feels that she can send me pictures of her coochie through the internet, I don't want that type of woman. I'm sorry. You know, I don't mind.
So what if you meet one in an establishment that night and she decides she want to fuck and you go ahead and fuck her? Is that wrong too?
That's completely different because now we've had a chance to at least converse. You know, other than that, you know,
you ain't turning that shit down when it's in front of you, are you?
Yes,
it's just a picture that went across the goddamn internet. You don't want nobody, you know. It's all the cyber shit.
But it's like
you ain't turning that shit down, DV. DV, you're not going to.
Yeah, I am because I'm a little. You know,
no, you not.
You get a little bit older. I will. I do turn it down.
You're lying, DV.
Man, call it what you want. It's the truth.
You're lying, DV, because if some ass came to you and you like that motherfucker, you're going to take it.
What did I tell you, Red? How often do we talk about turning down pussy?
Turn it down. I ain't turning down nothing but a shirt collar.
What did I say? What did I say? What is the biggest aphrodisiac in a lot of women?
I'm just playing.
Not all women,
I'm just
but a lot of women. You know, you tell a woman no, and the next time around, she's wondering why you've turned her down. So now the walls have come down. But it's a lot easier to tell a woman no when you don't know who she is.
No,
she already sent you pictures of her coochie.
But what about the dick? You the one that said you can't control your dick when it get hard. So that motherfucker got your shit hard.
I never
how
said
you
that.
Turn it down?
I ain't never said that shit in my life.
I'm just going by with DB.
I ain't never said that shit in my life.
What, hey, don't let me bring the old show back up.
You find it right now, and I hang up.
I'm not going to find that.
Like, that wasn't me. Like, yeah, the temple in my pants said. But no, like, in all
Cotton, do you have any questions that you want us to address this evening? Because we got 44 minutes. I don't know, we were supposed to have, both of the damn authors got scared. The both of the authors that were supposed to come on tonight got scared, I guess. And guess
really?
What? The new philosophy is if you don't come when you're supposed to, you ain't coming again.
Wow.
Unless you let me know. Unless you let me know early enough. And these are new authors. I understand they book is selling so much right now that they ain't got time to come on Word Sexy, especially when they ask to come on this damn show.
Why do people do that? It regardless
you know,
of what you're selling, you have time. You right now you selling, but you ain't out selling. You sitting somewhere while your books are selling.
I'm gonna tell you what it is. The word is getting out. The word is getting out that we are hard on this show, that we dog people. I know that's what it is. So they probably hear about it or they heard one of the shows prior to coming on, and they're like, I'm not going on that show. Hell no. I ain't doing that, so then they don't come.
We don't dog
that's what
people.
It is.
We don't do that. We don't do
hey.
That. This is
well,
I'm telling you, we're like the American Idol when it first came out.
I don't think we dog people. I think we help people.
Don't.
Now if they can't take criticism, then how are you gonna be in this game? You know, people talk about my shit all the time. I know they dog my stuff, but it's okay. Because
it's
if you
no,
tell me I'm gonna work on it to make it better. You know, that's
it's
what
no
all I
different
can do
than,
anyway.
It's no different than any other artist in any other industry. You're going to hear all kind of negativity. If you can't
everybody's
handle
not
it,
like
you
it.
Better not, yeah, you better not get in
Every,
the business.
Everybody's not going to like it. That's what I try to tell that person. Everybody's not going to like your stuff. You got to find those people who like it and cater to them.
Right.
Because everybody's not going
to
like it. That doesn't mean it ain't good. But when I try to help you, and then you're right, they're not supposed to. But I don't want to sit there and look at every page, the format's wrong. You know, every page got your name and author name, name of the book and author name on every page. You know, that's not right. And then you got all this bullshit. I mean, it just fucked up.
I was looking at her.
That means you don't care. You're just trying to hurry up and get the book out there. To me, that shows that you're just trying to hurry up and get it out there so you can try to get paid. You don't care what it looks like.
See, this woman got like 2.5-inch margins. Have you seen the formatting in the book?
Yeah, I have.
It's
you
like
know
a
why?
Slit down the middle of the page.
She's doing that because she's trying to stretch the book. The book is only 188 pages long. So when you take all that out, it's only going to be about 90 pages.
Oh, my man, not even. Like, you just get a slit down the middle of the book, and that's what the page is. And I'm like, okay, well, all right.
But you understand when people try to use these techniques by making it a 5x8 so they can make it longer and they do all this shit. Well, she's got a 6x9 book, and it's 188 pages, but it's stretched out the way it is. Now,
yeah,
if she was going to condense it like it's supposed to be, it'll probably be a 90-page book. You see what I'm saying? It's garbage.
Get it cheaper. Just price it cheaper.
Make
just
it a novella.
A novella. Yeah.
Well, she wanted to make it $20 when it first came out. We had to tell her ass and make them. Ain't nobody gonna pay $20 for a damn. Yeah, I'm told you, it's all about money. She's trying to get paid, and you know she wanted this book to be $20, and it ain't even a hardcover, and it only had 100 and something pages when it first started. She stretched it out to 188 pages. She had some lyrics from songs in there. And you know that's a big no-no right there. The copyright infringement. She got mad because we told her to take that shit out. You know, it just fucked up.
Man, look.
So if you're listening out there, I'm telling you, you can't do all this stuff. We're trying to help you if you want to write a book. We're trying to help you by telling you the things that you need to do so that you can have a successful product. Not to dog you and degrade you. But if you don't listen, yeah, we don't talk shit about your shit. The show is.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, the very first book festival I ever went to was a National Black Book Festival here in Houston. All right, and so, like, I'm thinking, you know, I got this, you know, this book that's almost 300 pages, you know, and I'm still selling it for $10. You know, I'm giving these people a bargain, right?
Yeah.
Man, Red, we had this dude come in with a pamphlet, a book pamphlet, literally no more than 20 pages, all right? This fool selling this book for $25. And I couldn't I could not believe it. And, you know, the thing I remember most was the name of his company. It was called C-U-M, Come. And I was like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? I was like, and he had sperm on his bookmark, like little swimming sperm.
Oh, wow.
Right. I was.
So what was his pamphlet about?
It was $25. I don't care what it was about.
What?
For $25, man, there ain't nothing in the world going to get me to buy that book. $25 for 20 pages?
I only have one book that costs that. It's a hardcover book. Hardcover. And it's got 300 some pages, almost 400 pages in it. And that's Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel. You know, I mean, I just don't see how you can do that. I mean, I think that my books are too high with the way they got them on Amazon now at $15 a hit. But my books are they all average 300 pages or more, but still they're 5x8s. I think that's too high. But there's certain prices that you have to do on Amazon, as you know. Yeah. In order to get your royalties, you have to set it at a certain price. So sometimes you got to overprice, I think. But then they do selling. When they bring down the price and stuff and make it seem like you're getting a deal and shipping and handling and all that. But, you know, well, usually when I have my books in hand, when people get them from me, $10.
Yeah.
Because I want people, you know, that's it, $10. I don't try to kill nobody, you know. I know I've given way more books than I have sold. I know that because that's just me. And that's just the way you have to do in this game. Sometimes you do have to give away a lot of stuff to get noticed. But the thing is I'm not going to try to break nobody because the people work hard for their money. $25 for a 20-page damn fucking pamphlet? Come on.
Yeah. He was
it should have been all pictures. Even if it was all pictures, it shouldn't be on $25.
Man, look, unless you've taken pictures of, like, other planets and aliens, all right, I ain't paying no $25 for no 20-page book. All right? And that's just it. You show me some shit I never seen, I give it to you.
Right.
But if the name of your company is called Come Entertainment, then I want my money back.
I hear you. Okay, so Cotton. Now, what are you planning on? We never did get an answer on when you wanted to do the dating game or whatever it is thing where we have to do and they get a book.
The third sounds like a great date to me.
Okay, because we got Cherry on that date. But like I said, the 17th is the date. That girl was supposed to come on, and she ain't coming now. So
she's not coming, so we can do it that day. That day would be perfect.
Yeah, that motherfucker is not coming on the show. She told me she don't need me, so I'm good.
Okay.
And just remember, she says she don't need me. Not that you do. Nobody needs me.
No.
But see, you know, I always tell people, you know where you've been. You don't know where you're going. Be careful. Be real careful.
You know. We was always told that the way you went up, is you got to come back down the same way.
Mm-hmm. You should never
come back
by
some same folks that you stepped on going up. You got to come back down on them. They're going to see your ass. They're going to remember, too. And I'm not saying that as a threat or anything. I'm not going to do nothing to her ass, but I know she'll be back. Cause this ain't the first time this motherfucker that came to me.
No, but she right, she doesn't. I mean, maybe she doesn't really know who you are.
She don't need nobody.
You may be the middle person between her and someone else. You know, you never know.
Well,
and,
you know, I do know a lot of folks. We do know a lot of people.
Right.
And we've been in this game for a minute. We do know some folks.
You just never know. So you just got to be careful.
You know, you're right. And I know a lot of people, even though I may not know them all personally, I have had encounters with them, like Zane and all these folks. So they do know who Red Snapper is. You know, and there are some people I have met that I'm cool with. You know, like Rashonda Tate Disley and a few others. You know, Eric Jerome Dickey's a frat brother of mine, and Carl Weber, all these guys. Just because you know these people don't mean it's all that, but still, you're right. I mean, you can, you know, you just don't want to burn bridges with folks. I don't never want to burn bridges with anybody. You just don't want to do that shit. Whether you need them or not, again, in the future, it's just it's no profit in that. Because you don't know when you're going to need somebody for something. You don't know what you need.
Man, you run into everybody a lot. You know, especially in the you think selling books is a big world. It is a very small world. You run into people you can't stand often. You know, and that's
all
just the nature of the beast. That's just the nature of the beast.
And the biggest people that's gonna buy your shit. Well, I ain't gonna say the biggest, but the majority of people who buy your stuff are these book clubs. If you start pissing book clubs off.
It's over. You might as well just hang your hat.
You might as well give it up.
Hang
exactly.
Your hat right then, buddy.
Yep. All
right.
You might as well. That's why you see a lot of these authors, they spend so much time campaigning, like politicians, with these book clubs. Because they know that's their bread and butter.
Oh, I've seen people
I don't have time to do it. I would love to do with book clubs. I've seen authors fight with book clubs because they were mad. They didn't get the premise of what they thought they wrote. The book club didn't understand or whatever.
A good one about a year ago. Go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish.
No, but like I think my thing is, like we said this earlier, everybody is entitled to their opinion. So that opinion may be pro you, it may be against you, but you can't tell them what their opinion should be, all right? But the one thing that irks me is when authors go after reviewers because they didn't get something positive. That doesn't say anything about the reviewer, but it damn sure says a lot about the author, you know? And that's what people don't, you know, a lot of these authors don't understand. You may not like what other people have to say, but if you constantly, you know, or you attack a reviewer, especially we've seen attacks, you know, where the author attacked the reviewer on Amazon, it makes the author look so small. You know
it
what
does.
I'm saying?
That's why I didn't respond or say anything to that person. That's their right to think whatever they want to think,
right?
You know, about the condoms and all that. I say it all the time on the show. People might think I'm upset with it. I'm not, though. But the thing is this. I didn't go after that person. I didn't dog that person or anything. You know, it's their opinion. The only thing I hate is if that's the only review that's on there, everybody's going to go by that only review. That's the only thing I hate. That's why I try to say, look, people, please put, if you like the book or even if you dislike it, put the damn review out there on Amazon or whatever. You know, I know Cotton is happy with it just being on Facebook, which is hard to get that too. But the thing is if you can get it on Amazon, that's where your money is. The people look at that to actually decide whether they want to go forth in the book. I hate to say it, but they do. That's like, you know, you got to have a good synopsis on your book to be able to explain what the book's about. You know, people will put a synopsis together that don't have nothing to do with the book. Oh, just like that girl with the book we were talking about a few minutes ago. You got this woman that's half naked on the front of the damn cover. This will be a professional. But she got her damn titties out and all this shit. So what is she? Is she a whore or what is she? And then the synopsis has nothing to do with the book.
Right. Sends a mixed message. But God knows, we put a lot of titles out there with covers that don't say anything about the book. You know, the main character be dark-skinned and the character on front be light-skinned. You know, there's a lot of, you know, antithetical things on the front of books that have nothing to do with the book. And it just is. I mean, sometimes they had the wrong city line. They put, like, Philly on a building in the back, and it'd be, like, D.C. in the book. You know, I've seen that before. So.
Yeah, that's weird, yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. And every book I see now has got that damn skyline, man. Or a car or something. You know, it's just any skyline. They don't care. Like you said, they'll put skyline from L.A. and the stories in New York or whatever. I don't know. It just, if it ain't that, they got a car or something, and a girl standing in front of the car or If it's supposed to be erotica, they're going to have the chest, which is fine. You know, that sells. You want women to do it or whatever, the naked chest with abs or whatever, but I don't know.
But the original, we're lacking originality, and we are, because I think it gets to a point where you're oversaturating whatever we're seeing. Because remember back in the 90s, a lot of the CD covers, like the very first woman that I saw half naked on the CD cover was Idina Howard. Then all of a sudden, every woman has to get half naked on her CD cover, on her tape cover. So it got to the point where it was overdone, and you're tired of seeing it, and it's so commonplace. You're like, you know, just because to shock somebody, I mean, to surprise somebody, you don't have to necessarily shock them. You know, sometimes like 50, like what's that, 50 Shades of Grey? Man, it's a gray cover with words, all right? And she sold, at last count, like 13, 14 million on a gray cover with words. So, I mean, let's be honest. You don't have to put half-naked women. You don't have to put half-naked men. It's just something we do because we're trying to draw attention to the cover rather than draw attention to the book.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, and my thing is, I agree with what you're saying. And there's even men that I've heard saying that they like the story, the 50 Shades of Grey and everything. And you know it's going to be a movie. They're already talking about that, trying to get a cast now and all that. So, I mean, I applaud her for what she's done with her story, you know. You know, it's a love story, what I understand. Like I said, I haven't read it. But if you look at the most reviews, she's got over 6,000 reviews now, I think. And most of those reviews are 3-star reviews, but whatever, she's got them. So, you know, I'm not upset with her. It's fine. I mean, I'd rather see that doing well than that damn Steve Harvey shit. And I hate to say it, but I do.
Yeah, she 3-starred that shit all the way to the bank. Ha, ha, ha. And that's real. Why am I here dead air? I'm ashamed of that.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, she's done well, so... You know, I would like to get there one day, you know, but the thing is being able to get your work out there where people will recognize it.
I mean,
and
the thing is,
instead of people judging how many characters, how many, you know, I've had my book edited so many times. I even had my editor edit it, had my editor's editor edit it, and I have people edit it. I mean, you're not going to catch, you're going to try to catch as much as you can, but damn, some of these people want your stuff to be so perfect. Like I don't get it. I mean, they act like, oh, I just couldn't get through it because the period wasn't where I was. I mean, damn. Really?
My thing, you know what? And I'm going to be honest with you, Red. I guess I would rather have people asinine like that, you know, type A assholes like that, and then people like, oh, this book had 100 errors per page, but I still got through it. It was pretty cool. Because the thing is, it sets the bar so low. You know, I don't mind somebody setting the bar high. You know, there's always going to be that one jerk that's like, oh, he missed a period on page 158, and you got a 5,000-page novel. You know, there's always going to be that jerk. But then I can't stand the people who give a book a 5-star review, and they're like, oh, it has some editing and some punctuation and some spelling and grammatical errors, but it's a 5-star read. Well, if it had all of those, if you made it a point to acknowledge that it had these things, then it's not really a 5-star read.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I don't know. That's why I think that I wish there was a better system on reviews or something that you know, that you could do, because anybody who is a consumer can go on there and put a review on. And if they didn't like it or whatever, then, you know, that's it. But, you know, or if they did like it, then that's it. I mean, everybody's, you know, goes by that. That's a shame that a lot of people go by that, but they do. You know, just like the movies. Well, how was that movie? Was Denzel movie was good. Oh, I didn't like it. You know, and then people don't go because they are somebody else. Instead of them going to see for themselves.
That speaks volumes to the character of that person. If you already made your decision based on what somebody you ain't never met has to say about it, then that speaks volumes to you. You know, you're not really that type of person that I want to sell a book to anyway. But understand this. Like, we all, you know, when we see that train wreck, when we see a bunch of 5-star reviews and then we see, like, you know, 2 or 3 1-star, what's the first thing we do? We read the 1-star reviews. Why? Because we can't trust anymore that those 5-star reviews aren't biased. You know, it used to be the point where we gave people the benefit of the doubt. Okay, well, maybe, you know, they're not their friends and their family and everybody posts the reviews. But now we have to think that. Why? Because usually it's their friends and their family and they buy reviews. So we go straight to the 1-stars or straight to the 2-stars. Why? Because they don't have anything to gain by giving you a 1 or 2-star. Doesn't mean they're always right, but it damn sure mean they ain't got nothing to gain.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, man. It's the only thing I can do is do it the old fashioned way and try to get out there and try to, you know, like you tell everybody that comes on the show that they got to sell themselves, they got to sell their book, they got to sell their stuff. So that's what we have to do, the old-fashioned way, get out there, sell it, so that make people want to read it. You know, I don't know.
Pound them streets, baby.
You know,
it's not that hard, man. Like, it's only as much work as you think it is. If you don't like what you're doing, the work is hard as hell. If you love what you're doing, you'll find new and creative ways to do it and new and fun ways to do it. And you know, extra time to do it. You know, and that's how we are as people. We love what we're doing. You will make those extra sacrifices. They won't seem like sacrifices because this is something that you love. But if you're doing it just to, you know, fill up your little piggy bank and you do it just for a little notoriety, a little publicity, it's going to be short-lived. And I want anybody listening to realize that. If you're not doing it for the love, it's always going to be short-lived. Always. Because after that first book gets out, it's going to be hard as hell writing that next one if you don't have love for it. But even if you do get through with the second one, you're going to have to put in more effort, more time, more everything. So, you know, I guess in a way that is its vetting process. That is the weed-out process. But
yeah. Well, you know, my thing is this. Why, whatever happened to the fact that not everybody wants to write a book but don't do it? Whatever happened to the fact that, you know, we should take an account that the person actually took time out of their time and their life to actually write something and try to do the best? I'm talking about somebody who actually wrote a book and tried to make it as perfect as possible before they put it out there. And then, you know, you get it out there and you try to get it where people can read it. And we understand that everybody's not going to like it. But the thing is whatever happened to that and taking into consideration that this person actually wrote a book and you didn't. What gets me is you got these people doing these reviews and they ain't picked up one damn, they ain't wrote shit, you know? And they're telling you, because they may have a degree or they may not or whatever, that you don't know what you're doing. Because they read a couple of books before and they saw how somebody else did, so they think that's the way a book is supposed to be.
That's in real life. You know, I have a degree, and I told you, me and a bunch of people, I'm in a forum where me and it's about 25 other people, we talk politics, and we go back and forth. Most of us have degrees, you know, and occasionally you find that knucklehead that belittles somebody without a degree simply because they don't have a degree. You don't know what the hell you're talking about because you don't have a degree. That doesn't mean that they don't have vested interest. They may have done more research without a degree than you did when you were working for yours. You know, so never discount that person out. And I hate when people do that, to try to make you seem like you know less because, you know, you don't have a degree. I know the Constitution. I don't have a law degree. I know the Constitution. Well, you don't know the Constitution like I do. What? We reading the same piece of paper, right?
Right.
You know, so, I
exactly.
mean, it's no different with anything else. You know, people will always try to make you seem like you know less than what you know. But who are you to judge? I know exactly what I'm supposed to know to get this book done. You know, we all do research. You know that, Red. You know, you had to
right.
do research for Creole Crime.
The Creole Crime
Man,
cartoon.
You and your damn assonance. I like alliteration and shit. Oh my God. I was jumbling on my words. But my point is, we do as much as we need to do to tell a story, because anything more than that makes the story boring.
Exactly. So I'm writing a book right now called The Guild, which is a spinoff of my series, because people wanted to know how this secret society started. So it's starting in the year 1939. So, of course, I got to research and do the things and even the language of how they were talking back then. In order for this to be right, like it should be presented, it has to be those things that they were doing back then. That you got to make sure that if you're using some type of technology or some type of thing, that it was actually invented during that time. You know, there's a lot of research that goes into that. You can't just write, okay, they was on the telephone and they didn't have phones and shit, although they did in 1939. But what I'm saying is, you know, you got to be able to make sure that you use the right type of phone that they were using then, or the right this or whatever. You don't just write some shit and have them talking slang like today. You know, they got to be talking the language of back then.
Right.
You know, and people don't realize it, but yeah, you got to go and look, check all that out. So I'm hearing some kind of feedback. I don't know where that is. Anybody hear that? Okay, it's gone.
No.
Sound like somebody running some water or something. You taking a shower or taking a bath, Miss Cotton? You getting naked?
No.
You taking your clothes off and shit? You taking your clothes off?
He's gonna say, "Yeah, Red."
Yeah.
Pinching my nipples for you, Daddy.
Yeah.
I knew the question.
Oh,
I knew it was coming.
Was it running water and shit? You know I'm gonna ask some goddamn sexual shit.
No,
we got 18 minutes left.
Actually, I'm not.
Okay. Well, I heard something. Maybe I want somebody to run some water. Anybody out there want to take a shower, a bath, and let us listen to it? Call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we will listen to you do that.
You better specify, because some dude will call in like, yeah, I'm
scrubbing
my balls in the shower,
guy,
dude.
Man,
I feel
is,
silky smooth with my
make
zest fully
sure.
Clean, Negro.
Make sure that you're doing it for Miss Cotton if you're a guy.
No, don't, no. If I don't know you, it's not a big of a turn on to me.
Okay. Well, the people that were supposed to be on the show, can I bust them out who was supposed to be here so we can let people know that
they don't do
their interviews like they're supposed to. They just say they're going to be on the show and don't show up. That's not good if you're a new author and you're trying to get exposure. That's not a good thing. Let's see. Who was supposed to be on today? What's today? The 12th, right? It was supposed to have been Miss Robinson, and she usually comes on. I'm surprised she's not here. And Marcus D. Thomas. Was that who I had set up to come on? Oh, yeah. They did not show up. Now, Nikki Michelle is supposed to be here next week.
Coming out. Next week.
Nikki Michelle and Marcus D. Thomas will be... No, not Marcus. He's telling Meeks. She said she already called me today and said she was coming. Lovey Charisse is supposed to be on. And these are new authors. I'm trying to give these new people a chance.
Right.
Nikki Michelle's been here before, so hopefully she'll be back.
Is it
I'll
Nikki
make sure
or
that
Nika?
Nika, I'm sorry. I keep saying it wrong.
Okay, because I was like,
Nika.
I think I know her.
Yeah, you know her. It's Nika. It's right. Nika. You're right.
All right.
So they're coming on, and, you know, I know Meeks. She'll be here. She's erotica and urban and all that shit. So she'll be here, and we'll get them. And like I said, anybody who wants to come on the show, we usually try to give you a chance. But I mean, I'm not going to reschedule anymore for people. We had somebody who tried to come on three times. How many? You don't forget three times.
You're
better
man than me.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right. Because I'm not going to do that anymore.
And that's about you promoting what you have going on.
Right. You don't
so
owe them
you,
nothing.
How do you forget that you need to promote your
book? Your own shit. Well, I forgot to promote my own book today.
Well, you know, especially when you asking to come on the fucking show, and then you don't do it.
But see, them cats that, you know, have short careers, because... You can always tell, you know, the quality. You can tell the quality of somebody's work by their commitment to their obligation.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's what it is. If you really love what you do, you ain't gonna forget you got an interview. I mean, really. God knows,
no.
Like Cotton, when you had your first interview, I know you was nervous. Like I was nervous as hell. I was teeth chattering, knees, and I'm doing a phone interview. My teeth chattering.
Well, I remember when she came on my show. She was real scared the first time. And she was already, what? She is soft-spoken. She was really scared, and I had to calm her down and let her know, you know, it was okay.
You make it sound like you take her virginity, man. Damn.
And back then, this is when word sexing was kind of really starting. It was just me. I was the only person, and it was just me and her that night, and those that were listening. And there was no co-host. There was no nobody, no DV, nothing. Just me and her.
And the show was an hour, right?
It was an hour then, yeah. The show was an hour long,
mm-hmm.
And she was on there. You could hear her goddamn knees going, smacking together and shit. And she was sensuous, though. She sounded so good, even though she didn't know she was sounding good. And she did great. And ever since then, we've been friends. That's been since 2009?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
God, we've been knowing each other for a while. Yep.
2009.
DB, when did you come into the scene? 2010 or what?
Yeah. I want to say probably April. May, somewhere around that time.
Yeah. And we had fun when we had that panel for a while, but old girl wanted to take over the show. That's what the whole problem was. She wanted to be the center of attention. And, you know.
Trashy? I mean, Carmen
blue.
Trashy?
No, blue. Blue.
Oh,
I ain't saying the color.
Okay. I was like, blue? I was about to say it. Like, that wasn't the color.
I know. Go ahead and say it. It's fine.
Because, you know, I was like, you know, red and pink.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What happened to Carmen?
Carmen just fell off.
No, she.
I reached out to her a couple
of
times and I didn't hear from her. I just wanted to check, make sure
she was dealing with some personal things. So.
Plus she's sick too. You know, she has her illness to deal with. So.
Okay.
It was good having her on. But I think I'm gonna tell you what I think. A lot of times too, some responses came to her that somebody was writing on her page saying she sounded like a white girl and all this blah blah blah. I think she kind of let that get to her too. Remember when she came on? She was pissed off that day.
She was good.
And she was really mad when they said that shit. They was fucking with her. You sound like a white girl. What the fuck are you doing? You know, it was just, I don't know. Anyway.
She didn't like that. She went off.
Tell her there's nothing wrong with sounding intelligent. You know, people attribute to, you know, sounding intelligent as something white, and I hate that. You know.
I always took that as a compliment when people said that.
Yeah, because you sound white. You sound good, though. You sound so sexy.
Be called the white girl. I was called white girl. Come here, white girl. What you doing? I mean, and I took it as a compliment because it's, you know. To you, I hadn't been to college yet, but now you think I am because I'm the way that I sound because I speak intelligently, like Dee Dee said. Like, that has nothing to do with anything.
But, you know, Cotton, you have that voice. All you have to do is just speak, and people will orgasm. They'll come, and it's just the way it is. I mean, you just have that power.
Thank you, Red. You know, before I became a poet, I was told I should get a 1-900 number.
Yeah, you can definitely be girl six.
Like that.
You can definitely be girl six. I know somebody like that too. That they have that girl six voice. I think I can fuck up some people.
I was in love with her for a minute, Teresa Randall.
Girl, man.
Oh, she was like
she was fine. Was Teresa Randall? Oh yeah, she was sexy. Definitely. Where is she now? Damn.
The last time I saw her,
I'm gonna have to look that shit up on the internet. Where is Teresa
Randall?
She's
not a really great actress. Man,
I ain't say she was a good actress. I said she was fine.
I know. I'm
like, she was fine. Like, you know,
now,
mid-90s, man.
I will say when she did the girl six and she did the voice thing, I was kind of hot. I was like, damn, girl.
Man, and then wait. She had some, like, I'm not even a titty man, right? And she took off her shirt and she had, like, perfectly round orbs. I was like, oh. I was like, them titties are perfect. I'm in love. And I didn't even know what perfect titties was supposed to look like. They were just perfectly symmetrical. And that was my idea of perfect. Like, them bitches.
That was it,
perfectly
right there.
Circular. I was like, man.
That's it. That's perfect.
I was like, that's it right there.
man. Oh, man. I wonder what happened.
But
why wasn't she in
the
Steve Harvey movie?
No, the last time we saw her, she was in that those movies with Bad Boys and all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last time I saw her in Bad Boy 2, and they gave her a bit part. It was like Marcus. Yeah.
She played.
Okay,
she played. What's her name's wife? Wasn't it? She was
Martin, she played.
Yeah. Martin Lawrence.
Right.
Mhm.
You shouldn't do that, Marcus.
That was
really,
it.
Yeah, she didn't have a big role in that at all.
Mm-mm. Because then it was about Gabrielle Union.
Well,
oh yeah, she played the sister. She played the sister, didn't she?
Yeah, she played his sister.
Will Smith's love interest. Who's gonna tell you?
You can understand why, though. Like.
They both talk.
No, I'm saying why the focus was about Gabrielle at that time.
Oh, yeah. But,
well, why was it? Tell me, because I'm lost. Why was it about Gabrielle?
Because Gabrielle's a better-looking woman.
She was what?
Not that, but she was
a better
kind of woman?
She's a better actress.
I love the way she talks. She talks like a white girl, too. That shit just makes my, I ain't going to say, it just fucks me up. I like how she enunciates her words. Well, you know, the way she pronunciates words just fucks me up, how she talks. I just, you know, it's just amazing.
But she is a hood girl. She's a hood girl to the heart. She's so hood.
She's about to whoop Dwayne Wade wife ass. Well, they're about to get into it. Like, knuckle up, get into it.
She also got banned from coming to Dwayne's game because she was heckling
the player.
who was Sierra hanging with? Wasn't Sierra hanging with them too? And fucking with one of the other players or something?
No, she would just heckle the players because she got to sit behind the bench, behind Miami bench, you know, girlfriend.
Yeah,
no,
I'm talking about Sierra wasn't there with her a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was.
I don't even
follow
Sierra like that. The only thing Sierra got is a fat ass. That's it. She has no talent other than the. Okay, maybe she can dance. But.
She can act a little bit. I've seen her act in a movie.
She can't act.
Okay, between her and Beyonce, who can act the best?
She is.
Beyonce.
Sierra.
Beyonce can't act to save her ass.
All right. I was just watching Goldmember the other day when she was Foxy Cleopatra. I wanted to punch myself in the face every time she said Foxy Cleopatra.
Why were you watching that? Why
I don't know. I was torturing myself. All right.
My daughter was trying to get me to watch that. Song. Don't put that on. It was brutal.
It was brutal.
Oh, man.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, other than, I guess, Cadillac Records, everything that Beyonce has been in has been absolute garbage. All right? The quality of her
I actually liked her in Obsessed. She was good in Obsessed. I thought she
You talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
I thought
yeah.
when her husband cheated on her? Oh.
Yeah.
You didn't see the movie because he didn't cheat on her. He did not cheat.
That was when the white woman
the
was
girl,
obsessed with him, right?
Yeah.
Right, but
they
he didn't do anything with her. Yeah, he didn't do nothing to her. The woman just made the movie up. The movie was forgettable.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
put it that way. Movie was.
Yeah, he didn't fucking cheat her. That's the one time that I was glad that the motherfucker didn't really do shit. You know, it was just crazy.
She was crazy.
Yeah, she was just obsessed with that motherfucker, man. She wanted him.
Stay
she wanted his kids. She wanted
name.
Everything.
She just can't act.
Well, I just like Beyonce. I think she's very fine, and I know you live down there where she is and all that shit. That's probably why you feel that
just
way.
Just because, but wait, don't interchange with the other. She can be fine, but she can be a shitty actress. You know, she can be fine. I know. So who do you think?
Do you think Holly Berry can act right now?
Do you think Holly Berry can act though? For real? Do you think she can?
Yeah.
Not really. I liked her in a lot of her old movies. But now that she's gotten this Hollywood starlet head,
I'm gonna tell you, I liked her in Boomerang, and that's it.
Yeah, right.
Boomerang, that was it.
But,
she was that was my girl in Boomerang.
The quality of the movies that she has picked has not been the greatest, is what I'm going to say.
I don't think I would like this last movie that her and Tom Hanks are about to put out. It just seems stupid.
Yeah, like I frowned when in Swordfish when she showed her tits. It made me frown. Not because she showed her tits, but because I saw her tits, and I was disappointed.
The fantasy was gone, huh? They was too flat, wasn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they look like little pyramids on her chest.
I was like, ew. Right.
Yeah, they look like little, I'm saying, they look like little temples. Like, ew.
You ain't right.
Yeah, I know. You know how those Arabian swords look? You know, they real curved at the,
yep.
at the end. That's exactly where titties look like.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. Yuck.
I hope Holly Berry never hears this.
You know, I'm probably going to sue my ass off. You're going to find out DV going to sue tomorrow morning.
DV, mm-hmm. You must have took, because the scene was so damn quick, the way they flashed that shit, you must have stopped the damn page and looked at that shit for a while.
Shit, I went to see that at the movie. I went to see that at the movies. Her tits were like three stories high. All right.
But look, man, the scene was just so short. How did you have time to get that much observation of her titties unless you stopped it to look at that shit for at least 30 minutes and you get all the damn dips and cuts and curves and all that shit? How the fuck did you do that, man?
It wasn't that serious. You know, hey, it's like this. Whenever you're walking around with a woman and you notice other women, you can notice them without glaring at them. You know what I'm saying? You can take notice of something, and something that works with everything. You can look at a picture for half a second and know everything about it. You can look at another woman for half a second, like, oh, okay, she looks nice, without spending 10, 20, 30 minutes oogling her. I mean, because that's disrespectful. There's a difference between noticing and looking.
By the way, Cotton, I kind of like that witch clothes you had on for Halloween.
You should have never let those pictures go.
That wench look was quite soothing to my eyes.
And you didn't get to see the whole, like, it's a really short type of,
Well, we didn't get to see the legs, which I have yet to see. Have I ever seen your legs? Yeah, I have. I have. What the fuck am I talking about? Oh, yeah.
They're on my book.
Well, yeah, but not only that, I'm talking about other pictures and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've seen him in person. Now everybody inquiring minds are trying to figure out. If she ain't fucking goddamn GPA, then who is she fucking? Is it DBE or is it Red Snapper? Who the fuck she fucking?
I don't live near any of you.
Somebody getting there,
but
then, who's getting there?
But the best lovemaking is through the mind. Let's talk about that.
Ain't that the
next
truth?
Next show.
Here.
Well, right. We will talk about that. Making love to your mind.
I'm going to have to use that as part of your questioning.
Yeah. The questioning
for this panel of when you guys sent this book out.
So explain to me real quick. We got about 10 minutes. Explain to me real quick. How you plan to do that? We probably got less than that. What time is it?
It's 9:59.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes. Anyway, we got 2 minutes. my shit's freezing up. Okay, look. Well, I guess it's about time for us to go. Because the woman just said 90 seconds. So,
next Monday, I'll come on and we'll talk about it.
Well, yeah, I hope will. I mean, you are coming back. I mean, you are a co-host. I mean,
yes,
just because you got your
I'll
own
be,
show don't mean shit.
I'll be back. I love being on here with you and DB.
Okay. All right, well.
And I wanted to say thank you for coming on yesterday. I really had a really great time with you guys.
That was
all being on. That was so much fun.
It was. It was really fun. And I don't know what happened to our guests. Even on y'all show, the guests don't fucking show up.
I'm a fan of both of y'all shows.
I just don't understand. But we thank y'all for coming on, and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to call it quits. But we'll be talking to y'all later.
Definitely. All right,
guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.